All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go ahead and get started with some announcements. I just want to thank God for all of you who came to church today. I hope y'all came here for Jesus, because if you didn't, you're going to leave empty. Amen. If you came to be filled, I hope your heart came for Jesus Christ. He is the reason for all seasons. Amen. So I hope today you came to be filled once again with the Word of God. I know that I did. Okay, friend, we're going to go over some quick announcements before we get started. So if y'all can do me a favor and just look up to the screen for some quick announcements. Do we have any testimonies? I don't know where Katie went, but do we have any testimonies from Katie or Sister Eileen for yesterday's soul winning? Any testimonies? Katie or Eileen, any testimonies? Any testimonies? Any testimonies? All right, we got a couple of testimonies. Go ahead.
Yay. Hello. So we went out yesterday, had another good day. Eileen surprised us. It was a blessing. We were here praying and just getting our food ready, and then she came on through the door, so we were excited. We had another person that was going to go out with us and help us just reach some more people. She helped us out with a lot of assist of some good, deep conversations about the Lord and sharing the gospel. And we had a pretty good day, I would say. I saw actually one of my students' parents. We were having a conversation with him, and he's a believer as well. We were just encouraging him to kind of go back to church and just sharing the Bible with him, truth. We were able to minister to a lot of Spanish speakers, I would say, yesterday. But Carlos kind of helped me out on some of them because I kind of lost my wording on some things. So he was there to help, like, swoop in and finish the conversation. So overall, I would say we had a pretty good day yesterday. No. Eileen just wanted to be a partaker. So I'm just kidding. Amen. Eileen just wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. I want to thank God for those who came yesterday. My wife, Sister Eileen, showed up to give us a hand. We continued on our fireside door-to-door outreach, and we had a lot of conversations out there for about 2 hours door-to-door, and the conversations were really well. Let's continue to pray for two fellows, Jesus, Jorge, and there was another gentleman by the name of, I can't remember the first fellow we spoke with. I forgot his name, but the Lord knows his name. We had a great conversation. But the sad thing about these men is that they profess to be Catholic, but they don't know if they're fully saved. And number two, they doubt the Bible. They say no man can know. No one can know. How can you know? We're all just trying our best. In the end of the day, our faith, we're all just trying our best. So let's keep those folks in prayer. We did a good job door to door. And so, guys, continue to keep our church in prayer. And I want to encourage all of you here today, if this is your home church, once again, friendly reminder in love, please try to prioritize your time and your commitment with us. And then when we don't have commitments with our evangelism or outreach, guys, you're more than welcome to help any other Christian or any other church. Like my wife and I, we like to help other churches, if you will, but we do so outside of our priority commitment here with our home church. So with that said, please, Saturdays, join us. Please, every other Thursday, join us. And then down the line, God willing, Monday afternoons, you can join us as well once we get that going. And then as the Lord stirs your heart, as you remain faithful and obedient, maybe you might come up to me and say, Brother Carlos, I'd like to volunteer for the nursing home. I'd like to volunteer for an after-school program. I'd like to volunteer maybe for a jail ministry, and I will support you and get it going. So remember that your heart will grow as you go, but you got to go. You got to step out. The Holy Ghost ain't going to do it for you. Lord ain't going to do it for you. You have to say, God, here I am, send me. And then God will then do his part to use you to help change someone's life. Amen. So it was a blessing. And let's continue to keep our door-to-door outreach ministry in prayer. We didn't do the public outreach, but Lord willing, we'll do that. Second announcement, next Saturday, we're not going to have soul winning on the 29th. We're going to have a church cleanup. I've been announcing that to you for a couple of weeks. We need volunteers. We will provide for you lunch. We're going to need to clean the carpets up. We're going to need to clean the pews again. And please, if you can join us, that'd be a blessing. We're going to wipe down the windows. We're just going to do a basic dust, if you will, just a refresher. We haven't done it in a long time. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you can be a blessing to your home church, it should be a blessing. Next Saturday, we're going to start around maybe 11 o'clock. And then as long as it takes to clean everything up, maybe some women here have some ideas to help me with you know, the covering of wires and stuff like that, making it quote unquote pretty, as y'all can design us men. We don't do that. Me and Felipe will be too busy cleaning carpets. Amen, Brother Felipe. So other than that, if y'all have any ideas, let me know. But please, next Saturday, church cleanup, that would be a blessing, and we'll have lunch provided, and I appreciate that. On the 6th of May, Brother Angel is coming up to soul win with us. Amen. So we're going to go door to door, and then we're going to do the public downtown outreach, and then we're going to have lunch fellowship before him and the brother go back down all the way to Imperial Beach. So that's going to be a blessing. He's going to bring Brother Jorge. So Eileen met him, and Katie met him. Good brother in Christ. So they're going to be a blessing to us. Tonight, my wife and I are going to go to Corona Grace Baptist Church, the fellowship. If you would like to go with us, you guys are more than welcome. But after church, we'll be making our way up there. So keep that in prayer for camaraderie, if you will. And those are our immediate announcements. As you guys know, study blogs, these are here to help you. Livestream links, if you have social media, please don't be shy. Subscribe, like, and share. If you need prayer, you can submit it up there. Or you got my number, call me. Men, women, call my wife, or call each other. Sister Kina, Sister Aileen, y'all are family. Pray for each other, amen. A family that prays together. All right, but what about you guys who don't pray? All right, I don't know. Okay. And then last but not least, giving opportunities. Right now, it's a little, we got to update some things on our website for the online giving. But you could do so back there for the Venmo. You can do so for the PayPal, or we have the box right there. If this is your home church, please remain faithful with whatever you purpose in your heart to give as unto the Lord of your financial support for this local church. We sure will give you thanks ahead of time for your support. Amen. Okay, friends, other than that, it sure is a blessing to see you back here at church. Would you do me a favor now and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter. As my wife makes her way with the youth, and that should be a blessing. And Galatians, the 5th chapter. If you guys can open up with me now in your Bibles there. We're going to continue here, my friend, in our verse-by-verse study. We are back on the Bible train. We're going to continue here this afternoon with a part 3, if you will, of what Christ's liberty hath provided for us Christians. But today, what we're going to focus on more is standing fast in grace, not law. Not trying to establish ourselves by a list of rules or commandments in order to live a victorious Christian life that is exercising the righteousness of Christ's resurrection power by Old Testament law keeping or deeds of the law, but by grace and that personal relationship that each and every single one of us have with God by the personal presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the way that we're going to be able to remain steadfast, and that's the way that we're going to be able to remain standing fast in the liberty that Jesus Christ had made us free. And so with that said, would you do me a favor now, if you have your Bible open with me, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading here in verse number 1. Galatians 5, verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." We're going to kind of focus on that verse today. We need to stand fast in the grace and not fall from grace. We need to let Christ's gospel and the power of his blood effectually work in us. We shouldn't allow it to not work in us. Verse number 5, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ," so for those of you who are here for Sunday school, "in Christ we have passed from death to life. In Christ we are no longer underneath the law of sin and death. In Christ we are no longer condemned." So stand fast in him is what the Holy Ghost is telling us and admonishing us to do. "In Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Let's go ahead and open up now with a word of prayer. Abba Father, once again, I thank you so much to see these souls that came to church today. Thank you, God, that they were obedient not to forsake the assembling of themselves with the church family. Today, I just pray now that they would have a heart and a mind free from distraction. Help us to put our cell phones away. Help us to put them on silent. Help us to have a Bible in our hands and a heart to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us to learn from the Holy Bible. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, God. And wherever I have an error in my human presentation, will your Holy Spirit, God, minister to their hearts as they need to hear from you today, my God. Help us to leave this church loving Jesus more and serving Jesus more. And if we didn't leave, if we didn't benefit from that, God, then our gathering is in vain. We need you. We need your presence here, God. Please remove me out of your way and continue to build up this church. Keep it united and stir up every individual member to do that much more for you as they see the day approaching. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So look back with me now in verse number one. We've been nailing this verse a lot in these past Sundays, standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Go back now with me to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to quickly remind you of the twofold purpose of what Christ has provided for us in his liberty. That is the provision that the gospel affords sinners who believe in Christ Jesus. There's two things that he empowered us, and I'm going to remind you of them right now. So go with me now. Hopefully I have a Bible open and you're following along. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 4. The word of God says concerning Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So the first thing I want you to see is the atoning work of Christ, that he opened up, that is, the opportunity for all who would believe in him to be forgiven of their sins, that is, right now, no longer having a record before the eyes and face of God the Father forevermore of sin. That is what Christ provides for all sinners. He gave himself for our sins, and only by Christ and his blood that he can take away our sins, and he can give us a new heart. That is, forever we are pardoned, forever we are free from the condemnation that we once had because of our offense to God's laws. So number one, positionally before the eyes and face of God the Father, we are in his Son. And in Christ and the atoning work, he has presented us now unto the Father, holy and without blame. Let me show you two verses. Number one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. You can just look up to the screen for these. 1 John 3, verse number 8. Here's what Jesus Christ came to do. The Bible says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's the only one who could do it. You couldn't do it on your own strength. You could not do it on your own power. Your church membership couldn't do it. Your water baptism couldn't do it. You could not destroy Lucifer on your own strength. It took God the Son becoming a man, that is God incarnate, in order to live as a man to destroy the works of the devil. And he did that when he died and rose again. So positionally, for sinners who believe in him, he has made us free from the power of Lucifer, from the power of sin and the power of darkness. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to show you now. This is my second verse, Ephesians 1. Here's what Jesus Christ has also provided for you, and this is why you need to stand fast in the liberty. Here's what Jesus Christ has done for you, my friend. The Word of God says in Ephesians 1, 4, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so today, my friend, Jesus Christ, atoning work on the cross, opened up the opportunity for him to present sinners before the Father holy and without blame in love. Christian, if you don't find anything else to be thankful for, you should thank Jesus Christ today for presenting you holy and without blame before God the Father. Something the law of Moses never afforded its practitioners, and this is solely the ministry of life provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Let me share with you how he did this, and let me remind you of why we should rejoice that much the more in Jesus. Not the law of Moses, not a set of rules that you try to place over yourself or over others, or some kind of list of commandments to try to make you more spiritual, but developing a stronger relationship with him and loving him, that's what's going to help you to keep walking free from the power of sin. Look with me now, friend, in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse number 17. The Bible says here, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Aren't you glad about that? I'm not sure about you, friend, but I remember my sins. I remember in detail things that I've done that I regret doing. I remember my secret sins. I remember my public sins. And there are still some things that only God and I know, and I don't want no one else to know because you will pretty much hate me for the rest of my life. I'm pretty sure if we were to open up your closet, if you will, into the heart, we will see all those skeletons. We would all essentially be ashamed of looking at each other or beholding one another. Well, aren't you glad that when Jesus Christ gave himself for your sins, he took them away? And you know what the Bible says? God the Father remembers your sin no more. So if you are unthankful this morning for something, or I'm sorry, if you don't find any reason to be thankful for other than breath and life and a shelter over your head and food in your belly, Be thankful that God does not remember your sin no more because you trusted Jesus, because his blood cleansed you from all your sin. And that is what the Holy Ghost is reminding you, Christian, in Galatians 5, to stand fast in. Stand fast in this liberty. Stand fast in Christ. Now look at verse 7:18. Now, when remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the what? Blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So that's what he provided for you. He gave himself for our sins to take away our sins and to present you and I a sinner, a wicked sinner, a vile sinner. Sunday school, we learned Romans 5. We were enemies of God. He came to reconcile two parties and to tell the Holy Father, Father, this sinner right here, Carlos, this sinner right here, Eileen and Felipe and John and Dina and Stephen and Giovanni and Kina, all of us here, they're now spotless and without blame, Father, because my blood, it covers them. And then who comes around here like a little punk, Lucifer, he tries to accuse you before the heavenly court, but the Father looks to who? Jesus, and then Jesus on your behalf mediates. And that's why you should be thankful for, friend. You need to stay in this relationship with Jesus if you want to keep walking in liberty. So number one, positionally, that's what he has made you free from. Condemnation, you are free now, and all these great things that he's provided for you. Positionally, we are eternally secure, we are eternally sanctified, and we are eternally preserved by the sole merits of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, not your works, not your church membership, not your rite of baptism, and not your faithfulness, solely by one man. Anyone here thankful for Jesus? Number two, Christ provides the redeemed power to resist the nature and or the force, however you want to just describe sin, it doesn't matter here, within our bodies. Let's go now to go to four places. The first place, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus Christ provides for the redeemed power to resist the nature or force of sin within our bodies. However you want to describe sin, again, I'm not going to be dogmatic whether you want to call it sin nature, sin force. You and I just know we have evil in our hearts. However you want to describe its existence, just know that if you are saved today, God gave you a power to say no. And if you are not using that power, that is your fault, not Christ's fault. And if you need help with that, then you need to go back to him every single moment of the day when you fall short and say, Jesus, deliver me again, Jesus, deliver me again, and that's what he wants to do for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read with me now, verse number 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when you meditate upon the old man, brother, when you meditate upon the old man, sister, you're meditating on something dead. Because according to the Bible, when you became a Christian, he made you a new person. He gave you a new heart. You are a completely new creature. Why do you want to go back to the cemetery and visit the old habits? Why do we want to go back to the cemetery and hang out with dead things? We shouldn't. They're old. They're passed away. Enjoy the new life that you have in Christ. But notice, it's in him, not in a set of rules, not in the law of Moses. It's in him. So what's going to help you today to stand fast in liberty? It is loving him. It is developing a stronger relationship with him and letting that same power that gave you a new heart keep you walking in liberty. Number two, Galatians 6. Let's go there. Galatians 6. I'm just going to remind you now of the four verses in your New Testament where God made something new within your body in order for you to be able to resist the power of sin. Galatians chapter 6 is the second verse. Read with me now, my friend, in verse number 15. Galatians 6, verse number 15. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus, once again, not a church, not a tradition, whatever the title is of your denomination, not anything you've done, in Christ, the person, the Son of God, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Two times now, God says, for those of you who are Christians, I gave you a new heart. You are a completely new person before my Father, so walk in the newness of life. Anybody remember that from Romans 6? Okay, the third verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's read together now in verse number 24. Ephesians 4, verse number 24. Bible says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So according to the Bible, You do have the capacity to live righteously. You do have the capacity to live holy. You just don't want to. Why? Because you choose the old man. When you want to choose the new man, you can do so at any time. So when brethren say, I fell, it's because you chose to. You have been given a new heart. You have a new mind. There's a new creature dwelling in that carcass. You have the ability right now to stay in freedom, to walk in liberty. But why don't we? It's because old man Carlos chooses old man habits, and that's why I mess up. But I don't have to do that. I can put that old man off, and I can put on the new man, and I can stay walking faithfully with God as long as I yield myself to him. It's up to you. But there you have it. Three verses. New creature, new man. You got to put them on, though. That's your responsibility. It's not your spouse's job. It's not your pastor's job. It's not your children's job. It sure is not your government's job. It's not your... Now listen, it's going to sound crazy. It's not your Bible's job. It's your job. It's your responsibility to respond now to what the scripture presents to you that you have to do. Fourth verse, Colossians 3. Four verses now. New heart, new creature, new man. Colossians 3. Read with me now, my friend, in verse number 10. Colossians 3, verse number 10. The Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So whose knowledge are you renewed after? Christ, not the law of Moses. Christ, not your culture, not your deeds, not anything that you did. Jesus Christ. So when you trusted in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again the third day, he gave you the power to become a son of God. He operated in your heart. He gave you a new heart. He sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost regenerated you. That's what you call being born again. And in that supernatural operation, you may or may not have felt the goosebumps. You may or may not have cried. You understand what I'm saying? You were created anew. There's a new creature dwelling in that carcass. The old man dies to Christ, and there's a new man in Christ. But you have to continue to put him on. You have to continue to let Christ renew that nature within you daily. Because at any moment, you and I can fall. We can falter, and that's our choice when we choose not to. So again, it's responsibility of the redeemed. He gave you all the tools you need, my friend. Now it's up to you to use them. New man, new heart. All right, let's go back now to our base text, Galatians chapter number 4. So remember, again, just go ahead and keep a flyer there, if you will, on our base text. I'm sorry, Galatians 5. New man, new creature, new heart, whereby the Holy Spirit dwells in. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our heart, Galatians 4:6. The Bible speaks of Christ dwelling in our heart, Ephesians 3:17. Well, how was that made possible? Because of Christ, his power giving you a new heart, his power creating a new creature entirely in that new body, and now the Holy Spirit of God can dwell in that thing. It's now up to you to walk and to enjoy in this freedom. My question is, how can we enjoy this freedom daily? How can we walk in the liberty with Christ that made us free? You want to know the answer? Let's go back to the Bible now. Colossians chapter 3. Let's go back there. Colossians chapter 3. The Bible has all the answers. It's just you and I who are stubborn, who don't want it because we know it's going to tell us we're wrong every single time. But when we let the Bible have its effect in our life, that's when we're going to have joy and true peace. That's why, friend, I need the Word of God to continually cleanse me, and I need it to rule over me. I need it to govern me, because the only alternative I have is what? Sin. And you and I know what sin does. Sin destroys. Sin causes shame. Sin condemns. I'm ashamed of what I've done after the old man deeds. But I'm glad that I've been walking in liberty. Aren't you? Colossians 3:15, here's what you and I need to do daily in order to walk in the freedom and the liberty that Christ made us free. Here it is. And let the peace of God, what does it say, church? Rule in your hearts. That's right. You need to let someone else call the shots. You need to let someone else command you. You need to let someone else tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it every single day. And who's that? That's Jesus Christ. If you don't let the Word of God rule over your heart, the only alternative is what? Old man, flesh. And if you let the old man flesh have his way, Galatians 5 is going to teach us in weeks to come, anger, wrath, strife, envy, bitterness, drunkenness, adultery, evil imaginations of the heart. That's the flesh, man, when you don't let the word of God rule over you. So ironically, biblical liberty provides me the ability to submit to authority. But whose? Christ. Not your pastor necessarily, not your church necessarily, but the word of God. You got to let the word of God rule over your heart. And the Holy Ghost reminds you, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. So the calling for the Christian, yes, we understand how brethren want to use it for conduct. I felt the call of God, brother, to go preach, and I felt the call of God to do that. But why don't we feel the call of God to make me more like Christ? Why don't we feel the call of God to make me more pure in my relationship with my spouse or a more faithful church member or et cetera, et cetera? It's because they're misappropriating the calling. And each calling in the context that has a particular role. In this case, we need to let the word of God rule over our heart because we're called to do that. And we are called to let the word of God rule over us, and we can become more like Christ. So that's how we can walk freely, daily, letting the peace of God rule. Remember long ago what I taught you and I preached a long time ago in a message, that Jesus Christ is the master and we are his servants. You don't have to turn there. I'll just show you real quick on the screen. I'm going to show you two verses. John chapter 13. This is a friendly dose reminder, amen, for all of us, of what I already taught you guys a long time ago of our servant-master relationship between God. If we don't remind ourselves of this, then we are going to be led astray by the deception of sin in our hearts. And I'm very, very capable of, if you will, forgetting this. And I'm very capable of letting old man Carlos try to dictate and lead because my flesh wants to be dominant. My flesh wants to rule. But there's a new man that wants to do the same thing. The spirit and the flesh are contrary, Galatians 5 says. So who's going to win? The one who I let rule. But it's my choice. All right, now John 13:13. Here's what Jesus said. You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. For so I am. He is the Lord, and he is the master. What does that mean, Brother Carlos? He is the one who has the authority to command us. That's what the word master means. That's what the word Lord means. He's the ruler. But you know what our problem is? You and I, do we know what hinders us from walking in the Spirit to resist sin's power, the devil's power, etc.? It's because we don't do what the master commands us to do. Brother and sister, it's not necessarily our dress outwardly, although our modesty is biblical. It's not necessarily our church attendance, although it's obedience not to forsake the assembly. It's not necessarily our giving and all that evangelism and work and service and all the other decisions the moment you trusted Christ. But it's every single moment of our life deciding whether or not Jesus Christ is going to be the master of that. Every single moment of your life. Every single second of your life. When a thought originates from the motions of sin in your body and it's a sinful thought or it's pride or it's anger or it's laziness, it's rebellion, it's in those moments that you need to say, you're the master, I'm the servant. I know I shouldn't do that, master, because you said here in Bible verse, I remember Brother Carlos reminding this, I remember the Spirit of God reminding that in this conference or this church service, you're right, Jesus, you're the master, I'm not going to do that. You're right, Jesus, you're the master, I'm not going to do that. But you know why you give into the flesh those times? It's because in that moment, you choose to be the master, not Christ. And then, who rules? Old man. And then what's the consequence? Sin, and then sin produces death. You understand? So what we need to do, every single moment of the day, when those thoughts arise, every single moment of the day, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, what we need to do is we need to bow to the rule of Christ. We need to submit this thought and that thought to the authority of Jesus. I need to submit to your rules and your orders and your commands because he's the Lord and master, and I am your servant. Remember what Luke chapter 6 told us? Here's the second verse, and you guys remember this a long time ago. Luke chapter 6, and this is a good verse to use when you're talking to people out in town, you know, who say, I'm saved, but, you know, obviously they're not going to church. You know, they're cursing and they're drinking, you know what I'm saying? And perhaps some of you today, sometimes every once in a while, right? We slip up, we backslide, we forsake a little bit. Here's a good verse to just remind us of this, what we're discussing, of this servant-master relationship. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Look with me now, friend, in verse number 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's the problem we all have. I don't care what church, whatever Christian goes to, if they don't go there with the heart to let Christ rule, why are they calling him Lord? Why are we calling him Lord if I'm not doing what he commanded me to do? So if I want to walk in liberty and if I want to maintain spiritual liberty, you know what the answer is? I need to do what Christ commands me to do. And if the Holy Spirit said over here in Colossians 3, and if he said over here in Ephesians 4, and he scattered truth all throughout the Bible, let God rule, let God rule, let God command you, let God tell you, that's the way you're going to have true peace and true joy and true happiness, then you need to do that. But our problem is we have an old man that wants to argue with us and whisper in the ear, but man, you really want Christ to let you do that? You really want Jesus to let you and command you to do this? Don't you know it's more fun if you do this? And don't you know it's fun if you don't read your Bible and you do this? And you know, we all have that battle with that thought in our heart. Then and only then will the Holy Spirit help keep your body, your mind, and your heart in the will of God because of your free will yielding to obedience. Remember, friend, it's a relationship, not a machine ship. You say, what does that mean? We're not just automatically robots bowing down to Jesus, Lord, Lord, Lord. No, you have to willingly bow. You have to willingly get on the knee. You have to willingly crucify the flesh and pick up that cross and say, God, not my will, but your will to be done. How do you want me to love my spouse? How do you want me to love my children? How do you want me to be a better church member, a better helper to Brother Carlos as the pastor, a better friend to my coworkers, a better everything? How do you want me to do it, Jesus? I'll do it your way. But as soon as you begin to insert, I think, that's the problem. That's the problem. And we're going to fall from grace, and we'll talk about that. Let's go now back to our basics, Galatians chapter 5. Here's what God promised you and I. We will get to enjoy every single time we choose to yield, every single time we choose to bow, every single time we let Jesus rule by submitting to the authority of the Word of God. Here's what the Holy Spirit is going to give you. Here's what you're going to feel. Here's what you're going to sense. Here's what you're going to experience. Here's what you're going to grow in and enjoy. Verse 22, you already know this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The ninefold fruit of the Spirit. You will only get that when you let Christ rule over your life. You will only get that if you let the Word of God rule over your life. You will only enjoy that daily when you bow to Him and you yield to His power and you yield to His authority. He will give this to you. He will grant you. Why? Because you're saying no to self. You're saying no to the old man. You're saying no to sin. And you're saying yes to the Savior. You're saying yes to the Spirit of God. You're saying, God, right now I have two choices, obedience, disobedience. I choose obedience. And you know what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to supernaturally empower you with that love at that moment, joy in that moment, peace in that moment, gentleness, goodness. But when you choose the flesh, because it's an option, verse 19, you won't. You're not going to experience that. And that's a problem. It is available for us right now to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. You do not need to wait until you get to heaven. You don't need to wait until you die. You don't need to wait until the rapture. Brother and sister, you and I have been given this spiritual inheritance right now to enjoy. My question to you is Jesus Christ more valuable to you than your sin? Is he more valuable to you than your lusts, your habits? Does he mean more to you than your family members or your friends, your culture, your life? Is he worth it? Is he worthy? Is he sufficient for you? According to all the verses we just read, he's done all this work for you. But are you using the new heart after the spiritual operation you went through? Are you using the new creature desires? And if not, why? And if so, then keep doing it. Let's go back now to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's what we need to do. We need to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want you to notice the warning the Holy Spirit reminds us of, Christian. He's not necessarily warning you about someone coming down the line in your life to, you know, tempt you. Devils, Lucifer, you know, Antichrist, blah, 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 whatever you entertain nowadays. He's not necessarily warning you about a false prophet or false teacher in this particular case. He's warning you against you. He's warning you, do not entangle yourself in the things that Christ delivered you from. Don't go back. Stay right there where you're at. Enjoy this freedom. Don't go back to fornication. Don't go back to alcohol, drugs. Don't go back to adultery. Don't go back to unclean living. Don't go back to laziness, procrastination. Don't go back to all those things that you were living an unfruitful life before the living God. You need to stand fast in the liberty. You need to not entangle yourself again in the yoke of bondage. We already talked to you about the law last Sunday ago and what it couldn't do and the curses. So this is now more of an application of what we need to stand fast in. Let's keep going down. Verse number 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So remember, first century, Jewish converts leaving their entire culture of living underneath the laws of Moses, living in Judaism, thinking that they still needed to maintain certain aspects of the laws and others. And obviously, it has nothing to do with the New Testament gospel. It doesn't matter if they got circumcised or not, because what matters is God creating within the sinner a new heart, God creating within the sinner a new creature. All that doesn't profit. All the outward stuff doesn't profit. It's all about the inward and what God empowers and what God provides, and then you yielding to what he's provided you for. He says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So if they were to try to maintain righteous living, victorious living over sin and sinful habits, they are indebted to keep the entirety of the law. But last Sunday, I already exposited for you, there's curses. You can't do it. So it's vain. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Let's talk about that. The issue here is not eternal salvation. It's not referring to falling from grace in the sense of I lose my salvation. Rather, in the moment of today or our life on earth, the effect of Christ's power in us being hindered when we walk after the flesh. In other words, since you got saved, you were given all that stuff. New heart, new creature, new man, holiness, righteousness. You were given all the access to the kingdom of God spiritually, fruit of the Spirit. But every time you chose to sin, you fall from grace. You are not letting the effect of Christ's gospel affect your life. It's having no effect within you. And so for first century Jews who try to go back underneath the laws of Moses, they are fallen from grace in their conduct, in their practicality of it. They're not letting the resurrection power of Christ in them keep them walking upright, because they're trying to do so outwardly by a list of rules and commandments. You understand what we're talking about. So in this context, let's talk about this a little bit more. In the context, it's not referring to salvation, but rather from the source of power over sin and its influence over our lives. Let's go to three verses. Ephesians 3. Let's go there first. Ephesians 3. Letting Christ's gospel affect you, so that way it can effectually work through you. Let me repeat that again. Letting Christ's gospel affect you and letting it effectually work through you. Ephesians 3, verse number 7. Bible says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So we're not going to go over today, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday, God willing. We'll talk about the works of the flesh. And those are horrible things. We don't want to rehearse what we used to do, and hope none of you guys are actively participating in something that you ought to be ashamed of, right? But just consider this now. I just want to have a question. Is the gospel effectually working in your life? Are you letting Christ affect you so that way the gospel can effectually work through you? In other words, it's been 3 years by now, brother and sister. Some of y'all have been saved for 3 years, 4 years. Have you let Jesus, the living Savior, cleanse you from that thing? Have you let him finally deliver you from that thing? Have you let the blood and all the things that you hear about from different preachers, the blood, this, and the blood, have you actually let that effectually work in you? Have you let the effect of the gospel effectually work through you to help you to be a better lover to your spouse or a better church member? Or, you know, I always give you those applications. Have you done that? Why not? He's provided it for you. It's supernatural. It's available right now in you. You can let it affect you so it'll effectually work through you. Second verse, look at Ephesians chapter 4, just next chapter to the right. Look at verse number 16. As you guys can see, we're just giving you all these Bible verses. Pretty cool. not necessarily commentary. This is amazing. It's just Word of God. It's all sufficient. It's all there. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Speaking of Christ, the head of the church, and his operating through every member, you know, building us up together, and so on and so forth. Are you letting Christ affect you so that way his gospel can effectually work through you? Are you letting grace provide for you power over your sin, over those habits, or are you ignoring it? Are you resisting it, and hence Christ's power and the resurrection is not affecting your life? You and I know who they are. Sometimes you and I have been guilty. When we ask somebody, are you saved? They might tell us the right answer. Yeah, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he died and I believe he rose again. Okay, cool. So they have a profession. But you don't see nothing necessarily changing. They're still drinking, still toking, not going to church, not reading their Bible. They're not being affected with what they profess, the gospel, which desires to have an effectual work, and there's nothing going on. You know what's happened from them? They've fallen from grace. They are fallen from their steadfast liberty. And as a result, according to the Spirit of God, you know what they're doing? They're actually frustrating the grace of God because of what Christ provided for them at one point. I hope that's not you today, friend. So again, in discussion, not having its effect in my life when I choose to walk after the flesh. No outward visible fruit or evidence of this power affecting believers who profess, yet there's no outward visible change to agree with their testimony. Grace that saved us is grace that empowered us to be set at liberty. Let me repeat that. Grace that saves us is grace that empowered us to be set at liberty. When Christians choose to willfully sin after the fact, they frustrate that gracious liberty. We should be living in freedom, not in bondage to sin. I'll show you one more verse before we continue with our notes. Galatians chapter 2, back there in your base text. Galatians 2. And let me go down here. In verse number, let's see here. I forgot the note here on my thing here. Give me a second. See if I can find it. Galatians 2. Oh, verse number 21. I just forgot the number one. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Are you frustrating the grace of God here today, Christian? Or are you letting the grace of God affect you to effectually work through you to help you to get over sin within your life? Let's go back now to our base text, Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Notice again, it's clearly not a reference to their salvation. It's just the outworking of his power in their life. Does he have no power and authority over you, brother and sister? You ought to have been free by now. You ought to have grown by now. You ought to have been a teacher by now. You ought to have been so much more stronger as an outward believer. But every time you choose to walk in the flesh, you're not letting him affect you. And that's what we're discussing here. Look at verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Whosoever of you compare those who are attempting to be justified by their works of the law, we, through the Spirit, practical Christian conduct, we are letting the Spirit of God help us by yielding and by submitting, not by our efforts to a set of rules or commandments. We're not trying to just deny the flesh, if you will, through asceticism or try to keep the dietary laws or whatever the case might be that, again, these first century Jewish converts might have struggled with at the time. Neither should we. We, through the Spirit, is how we are going to live righteously, not by being a debtor to the law. We don't and should not just hope to go to heaven, but hope to live righteously in the freedom that Christ has provided for us right now. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith is supposed to reveal. It's supposed to manifest something real and outward. I want you to perhaps think about that in James chapter 2, about show me your faith and not just your profession. Yeah, I believe in God, but nobody can see your belief because you haven't been obeying God. You haven't been, if you will, demonstrating that in your actual conduct. There is no visible evidence to validate your professed testimony. Faith is supposed to work itself out. It's supposed to be made manifest. It's supposed to be evident. Faith is supposed to produce work and change within your life. Let's cross-reference a couple of these verses. Look at verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Faith is to produce obedience to the truth, not resistance to the truth. But if you say you believe in God and yet you're not walking it out with God, then there's an issue there. It's not God's problem. It's our fault because we're choosing not to let faith operate within our life, what it's supposed to produce. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, because you can. You can do whatever you want. That's right. You can go back to the old life if you want. You can go back to the drinking. You can go back to the not coming to church, dressing good, and trying to do all that. But you know the outcome of it. Sin, condemnation. Or you can use the liberty, the power that you have. Remember all that we talked about? Letting faith operate and coupled by love to serve others. You can do that. You see how faith is supposed to have something outward to profit someone else around you. You've been called into liberty. The Holy Spirit reminds you, stand fast in the liberty with Christ who made us free. From the moment of our conversion, we were immediately freed from the power of Satan. Remember that in Acts 26, 18? You and I are no longer in our lost condition of darkness. And yet the scriptures shows that we are to continue, that is right now, daily, walking in liberty. But here's what's unique though. Go back now to verse number 7. Notice what the Holy Spirit asks Christians. Who hindered you? What hindered you? From what? Obeying the truth. What is more important than Christ in your life? Who is more important than Christ in your life? Why are you trying to be more important than Christ in your life? That's not going to help you. You need to have Him as importance. You need to let Him have the rule. You need to let Him be the master and you the servant. And then the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to actually enjoy that. And I suppose that now, from what I've studied in Bible school, here's what's cool. I've learned, and it seems to me clearly, that in order for us as a creature of God to truly enjoy the purpose of our existence in this life, it's literally only going to be manifest, or if you will, made real by obeying the commands of my Creator. By obeying the commands of my Creator, that is the only means in which I will find true joy and satisfaction within my own soul. But when I resist my Creator's commandments and I want to do whatever is in my free will, motion of sins in my heart and my flesh at the moment, no wonder why I can't have peace and joy. I can't satisfy it. That's why I keep going back to doing certain things or trying to refill it again and again. What hinders Christians? Who hinders Christians is the question that God asked a long time ago. Our conversion liberated our soul from God's condemnation. Remember that from Sunday school I taught you. And our spirit understood the need for Christ Jesus to save us because of our sin. And our initial desire not to want to continue living in the same condition. But over time, what is the question? Or who, perhaps, happened within our life that we allowed to come back to hinder us from obeying the truth? Let me share with you something. I was out there soul winning last Thursday with my wife at the downtown outreach, and they're doing construction, so it's a little difficult. We weren't able to get our usual flow of people, so we had to come over here, and people were forced to come over here, which is kind of cool. Obviously, it's still kind of, it floods them over here on the right-hand side, but here comes this man with a big old suitcase, walks up the steps, big fella, and I assume that he is a transient, what does that mean, homeless fellow, but again, I'm not trying to judge no man after the flesh. I'm sincerely trying to love people, you understand? So he comes up to me, he sees the sign, and he almost starts crying, but I can smell the alcohol off his breath. But I do my best to love him. I let him know the gospel, that God loves him. Christ died for his sin, rose again. If he trusts him and he lets him save him, God will save him. But he asks about support. He asks about programs or opportunities. Is there something that you could do for me? I said, no, I can't. But here's something that you could do for yourself. The same way you got in here, same way you came out here in these streets, is the same way you get back out. The only difference is, with God, He helps you to have heart power, motivation power, spiritual resistance to keep you disciplined to live pure, righteously. And here's what I'm trying to say. He had baggage he was carrying, a big old suitcase. We understand him in this case. I'm just using it as an illustration. Those are his physical, his physical materials. Obviously, the man is homeless. But the same way that man got in there, he didn't start there. He didn't start homeless. He was a boy. He had parents. He had a home at one point in his life. A couple of bad decisions, he's out there. He started crying, breaking down. I said, man, you can get out of here, dude. And I said, and obviously in this day and age, you guys understand our nation, there's so much government programs to help the homeless. We have the police homeless outreach team. I say, man, there's so much help, bro. It's up to you. You want to stay homeless, you're going to stay homeless. But you have to really, really want to. In Oceanside, at least, they're handing out free Obama phones, y'all. You know what I'm saying? They're handing out free food. They're giving you free showers. You have to really, really want to stay out here. Some of them do. Some of them don't. But what do I want to share with you? In our life, spiritually speaking, sometimes we end up getting back those suitcases. We end up carrying once again those sins and sinful habits with us. And then when we finally come to an epiphany in our life, we finally realize, it just comes into your mind, man, I messed up on God. What do I got to do? Where'd you get those suitcases at? Take them back. Leave them there and move on with life. Amen. You don't have to keep those things on your shoulder. You have to let those things go. Y'all can just leave them in the past where they belong, and you're gonna pick up that cross, get a hold on Jesus with all your heart, and just move on forward. Notice again, verse 7, the Holy Spirit. Who hindered you? What did you allow to come back into your life to hinder you from loving Jesus, from fellowshipping with Jesus, from drawing close to him? Is it a video game? Is it a friend? Is it an emotion? What is coming between you and developing a stronger relationship with him to keep you free? It's up to you. He wants to help you. But will you let him? Look, verse number 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Clearly, the Holy Spirit of God will never influence you to disobey the Bible, obviously. God is never going to say, it's okay to do that against your spouse. It's okay not to go to church. It's okay not to read your Bible. It's okay not to keep your body pure. It's okay not to, anything that contradicts the word of God, that's clearly not God. That's just our spirit. That's our human spirit. That's the enemy, spiritual enemy, blah, 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 the world, okay? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Can I remind you real quick? It just takes one bad ingredient in your meal to ruin the whole meal. It just takes a little bit of poison to affect the entire meal you just prepped. Suppose that Maribel made an amazing bowl of menudo or pozole for Brother Felipe. Man, she just put a little bit of arsenic in there, you know what I'm saying, for some flavor. That bad boy gonna die, amen? A little leaven, leavened the whole lump. Suppose that Brother Stephen goes back out there and he's stocking the vegetables and he sprays some chemical. That's it. All the batch is bad. And before you know it, people are going to, you know what I'm saying? If I just allow a little bit of sin back into my life, eventually it's going to spread like a cancer. It's going to spread like wildfire. And before you know it, it's going to affect my life again. So I want you to think about this. Look at verse 9 and go back to verse 7. The who in your life and the what in your life that is hindering you from being the Word of God. What is that little thing you permit in your life that you think you're strong enough to allow? Could it be a video game? Could it be a television program? Could it be music? Could it be movies? Could it be sleepy? Could it be laziness? What could it be that is hindering you from obeying the truth? You know what the Holy Spirit said? That little thing, it's going to mess up your whole meal. Today, if you want to continue to have fresh meal, fresh living, don't allow that little thing to fester because it's going to ruin the whole. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord. That's the only way that I have hope. Anybody here? The only reason I have hope for Eileen, Giovanni, Kina, my stepdaddy, Sister Dina, Giovanni, Stephen, I only have confidence in you because of Jesus. I don't have confidence in you because of your flesh, because I don't know if you've noticed by now, but I mess up. I offend you. I hurt your feelings. You mess up on me. You don't answer my phone calls nor get back to my text message when I ask you about coming to church or soul winning. Anybody out there? Woo! Everybody out there, y'all. But you know who I have confidence in? Jesus in you. When you profess to me, Brother Carlos, I'm saved too. Awesome. You're telling me that you and I both have the same power. So let's use that. to help us to keep living a victorious life and keep building up our church together as a family. We need to have confidence in each other, not through the flesh, but through Christ in us. Notice what he says, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, here's a warning, Christian. Not to allow or to let this liberty deceive you into thinking that it's okay to walk after the flesh. Many Christians today who think that Christ's liberty permits them to continue living after the flesh are deceived and they're fools. I was once one of these believers. I can tell you right now and testify to every single one of you that sin hurts. It not only hurts ourselves, but others around us. This is the purpose for the remaining of Galatians chapter 5. Liberty, not just from condemnation, but from sinning perpetually. Christians in Gaul, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, they were saved. And they were all born again by their mutual faith in the gospel. They were united together while on earth. And every time they assemble, they have options. Either they can serve one another in love or bite and devour. Let's continue to finish for tonight's sermon. Read with me now in verse number 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, Paul's saying, if I preach Judaism, why do I yet suffer persecution? Because remember, he's not preaching Judaism, part two. He's completely telling Christians that are Jews, we don't have to do anything of the law of Moses because that had nothing to do with it. Then as the offense of the cross ceased, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. We'll talk about that in depth later, but just know this now. It's pretty hardcore. God, through the Apostle Paul, inspired for any of these people that were trying to affect the walk of Christians in Gaul for these Jewish converts, he wished that they were cut off from them, either in fellowship or straight up their lives, that they were just taken out because of them hindering their obedience to Jesus. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, all of us now as members here gathered in our assembly, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but what again? But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So as I get to my last notes, notice here. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So once again, Christians, thousands of years ago in this little area called Gaul, hanging out in a little church, probably like ours, maybe a little assembly here, maybe up the hill, you know, a little church up there, you know, they're getting copies of these letters, right? Imagine little churches just like ours all over the place. These Jews and Gentiles, they were saved by the same man, saved the same way, and God came in the same way, helping them. They had two options every time they came together. One, they could use the liberty that Christ made them free to serve one another by love. Or two, they could bite and devour each other. Salvation is what's provided them the ability to serve one another and freedom from biting one another at conversion. God does not remove our teeth when we get saved. Anybody here? God does not change your nose. He doesn't change your ears. He doesn't change your clothing, perhaps, obviously at the time of conversion. You're still dark shade melanin. You're still light shade melanin at the time of your conversion. But you know what he does give you? He gives you a new heart. It's up to you now to use that new heart to walk in the newness of life. So notice how he's just kind of getting back to more practical stuff. He gave you some doctrine about liberty, no longer under condemnation, position of God, you know, in Christ, all that. He gave you all that. But now he's reminding you, Christian, because of everything Jesus Christ did for you, when you guys come together again in church and y'all fellowship at home, do not use that liberty everywhere you go for an occasion to the flesh, but serve one another. Help one another, just like Jesus did for you. Do not use your liberty in Christ to bite. Don't use it to devour. Don't use it to gossip about your pastor behind his back. Don't use it to gossip about your pastor's wife behind her back. Don't use it to gossip about your church member sitting right next to you or sitting across from you or behind you. Don't use it for an opportunity of strife, division, murmuring, complaining, backbiting, rebellion. Don't do that. But if you do, you know what the Holy Spirit said? Don't be consumed. Don't completely take each other out. Because you know what he told you? You're going to bite. You're going to mess up. At some point, you're going to rub somebody the wrong way and somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. So here's the opportunity that you have at that moment. when that person comes across to you the wrong way, they offend you for something they said or something you perceive because of your flesh. Remember, you're a sinner too. You have an opportunity to use your liberty, not in the flesh like they're coming off to you, but you can use it to serve them by your love. I know this sounds difficult. The Holy Spirit is telling you to be more like Christ, not Brother Carlos. Here's what Christ would have you to do. Every time that I mess up on you, every time that I offend you, rub the wrong way, you have an opportunity to respond to me in love. Every time that you come across to me the wrong way, every time that you come short of my glory and my standards and my expectations for every single one of you, you know what I have an opportunity to do? I have an opportunity to love you and to serve you. It's my choice. So today, we need to choose that the rather. Even though we all come short of each other's standards, we were just talking about that the other night. I have rules and regulations. But because God already told you, they got a sin they're battling with, they got an old man they're battling just like you, every time they come short, here's what I want you to do, son, because like my son Jesus, I want you to love him. It's the only way you're going to get him to where you want him to be. It's the only way that we're going to get to where God wants us to be. It's faith. Remember, it wants to manifest, but it's only going to be operated by love. Because, friend, that's the greatest virtue that Christ has given us. It sounds corny, but that's Bible. I don't care about church conferences and how they want to, you know, bulk up about Bible this and that. No, no. I'm going to boast about love. That's the greatest power that I have available within my body. The availability for me to just love you even though you mess up on me. The availability for me to just love you even though you don't do what the Lord wants you to do in church. Even though you might come short of my expectations, my standards, I have been given freedom by Christ to choose to serve you anyways. So tonight, can I leave you with this? If we can fulfill the law, remember, we established the law in Christ. We already talked about that last Friday. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5. You know what the Holy Spirit says? All the law fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you really love your spouse the way you say you do, brother and sister, you don't need a law to warn you of the consequence of committing adultery or doing them wrong because you love. Love is what's going to guide you. Love is going to be that guiding principle. If you really love somebody, you don't have to worry about a threat or an emotion. If you don't do this, then I'm not going to. No, no. Love is going to do it anyways. The same thing for you in other roles. For those of you who are single, for those of you who are a church member here, if this is your home church and if you want to get more involved, you have an opportunity to love. It's your choice. It's the greatest virtue you've been given. And if you are being guided by love, and if you're being motivated by love, then that's what the scripture tells us later in Galatians 5. It's not by law, because you're not being coerced by law. You're not being threatened by a demand of a man having the yoke over your neck to say, if you don't give at your church, if you don't soul win at your church, if you don't, no. You've been called into love. And that's the only way it's going to work. The only thing that's going to keep this church going is if every time we come together, we keep loving each other anyways. We keep forgiving each other anyways. We keep provoking one another until love and good works. That's the only way this Christianity is going to work until the rapture. Everything else is the flesh, and we'll study that, Lord willing, over time. Let's pray. Abba, Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the word of God. I thank you for every soul that is here today. Lord, I thank you for the marriages that are here, the single people that are here, and I thank you that we all have the same Savior. We all have the same means of salvation. We all have the same Spirit of God operating within us daily and convicting us and challenging us to be more like Jesus. God, since we just reminded ourselves today of your Bible truth that we are all in this together, the walk of sanctification together, we are all progressing to be more like Christ. I pray that you would remind every single one of us, including myself, God, as the pastor of this church, to use our liberty to love one another. That we would couple our faith with love to serve one another. That we would not use our liberty to bite and to devour. Even though, God, some of these church members might not be soul winning with me, giving here at this church, doing things outwardly, help me to love them. Help me to serve them. And vice versa, God, even though they know that they can do more, I pray that today they would be motivated by love to serve Jesus more and to forbear me in their life, to support me and my wife more in their life because they too can choose love, faith working by it, God. Today, may all of us, Lord, invite your Holy Spirit to rule over us and to guide us and to direct us unto love, because that's the only unifying factor. Charity, you're going to teach us, Lord willing, soon in our next sermon. It's the bond of perfectness. So God, if anyone here is coming short because of our flesh, I pray today the message spoke to their hearts of what they know they need to do more of, by what reason, by what virtue, by love. Today, God, would you keep us conforming to your Son's image, Father, so we could serve one another more because of love, help one another more because of love, and then reach out to the lost together as a church family, because we too are going to be moved by your love in us to see a need in lost people's lives. So God, thank you for saving our soul. Thank you for all that you've operated within our life, giving us a new heart, a new creature. Help us to yield to the Spirit of God every single day because of love. We thank you for it. What you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you all. I hope and pray you have a blessed rest of your day. May the Lord bless you.